Let me start this morning by telling you a little story. This happened in a sleepy West Texas town. One day, there was a tremendous explosion that was heard all over the town. What happened was one of the oil wells had exploded and caught fire. The blaze was so intense that they had to set a barrier or a perimeter all around the fire. So they sent for the local fire brigades, the professionals, as it were, from all the local towns were sent for, and all these fire brigades arrived and they pulled up to the barrier because they couldn't get any closer to the fire because it was so intense. And then the local people started to ask, well, where's the local fire brigade? And then suddenly from over the hill came this fire brigade. Sirens blazing, bells ringing, volunteer firemen hanging from every angle of this fire brigade. And down the hill it came. Everybody expected that it would stop at the barrier. But lo and behold, past the barrier it goes, past the crowd of people who had gathered there to watch the fire, and down the hill it goes, right to the very heart of the fire. These men, brave men, get off the fire brigade, and within a very short period of time, they have put the fire out. Of course, the townspeople feel incredibly proud and grateful for what these brave men have done. So they carry out a fundraising campaign and they call a banquet. And at this banquet, they present this sizable check as an expression of the town's gratitude to the chief of the fire service. And then the mayor of the town asked the chief how they planned to use the money that the townspeople had raised. And the chief said, well, he said, the first thing we're going to do is fix those sorry brakes on the fire engine. So how are your brakes this morning? You know, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, Jesus wasn't putting on any brakes. He knew what he was doing. He was intentional about what he was doing. He said in verse 23, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. He had heard from his Father, and Jesus knew what he had to do. He was riding into the heart of danger. He was riding in without any brakes on to the heart of trouble. Jesus knew it, and maybe some of those around him as well knew it, and you know, maybe they were saying to him, well, Jesus, what are you doing? You know, this could be trouble. You know, this is a dangerous thing that you're doing. This would cost you your life. You know, what a wonderful Savior we have, because he knew exactly what he was doing. The Bible says, for he rescued us from the dominion of darkness, and he brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. The Son that he loves. The Son that he sent into the heart of darkness. The Son that he sent into the heart of the fire. And it goes on to say, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Jesus rode intentionally into the heart of danger to rescue you and me from our sins, from our sinfulness, and from the power of sin in our lives. He did that not just for you and me, but he did it for the whole of humanity. Jesus didn't have any breaks. And this morning he wanted to challenge you and say, you don't need to have any brakes on either. You can ride into the heart of the needs of people in your community. You can ride without any brakes into the heart of your family, into the heart of your workplace. You can do that intentionally. No brakes on. And today I want to encourage you not to put the brakes on your Christian service. Not to put the brakes on your service for Jesus. Because we can all too easily put the brakes on. There's a whole host of young people who should be here this morning and they're not here. Why? Because they've put the brakes on. There's a whole host of middle-aged people who should be here, but they're not because they've put the brakes on. There are older people here or not here as well. You know, for a lot of young people today, middle age arrives far too soon. They've lived life far too quickly. They've experienced everything that there is to experience far too quickly. And they reach that stage in their life where they're dissatisfied, where they're disappointed, where they're discouraged, where they've experienced failure, and they don't see the point of living. C.S. Lewis said that middle age is a dangerous weathering ground for the devil. And for many, it arrives far too soon, and people stay in that condition for far too long. C.S. Lewis said, the long, dull, monotonous years of middle-aged prosperity or middle-aged adversity are excellent campaigning weather for the devil. I'm looking at a lot of middle-aged people this morning. Middle-aged, yeah, I could say you're old, but you're not. Middle-aged mediocrity, middle-aged indifference, or even middle-aged smugness causes many Christians to put the brakes on their service for the Lord. When we reach middle age, there is a tendency to become very dissatisfied. If we have been relatively successful, we ask ourselves, is this all there is? If we have been relatively unsuccessful, we become disappointed and disillusioned. But either way, middle age is prime ground for spiritual warfare. When we are young, you know, there are several things that can insulate us from dissatisfaction. But obviously, when we're young, it seems that time is on our side. We have not been beaten down by life. We have not learned to distrust people. And all in all, our dreams are still intact. But life, as you and I all too well know, life has a way of destroying your dreams. You can identify with this morning because you've been through some stuff and you know that life can destroy and nullify your dreams. But I want to say this morning that you don't have to put the brakes on your dreams. I want to say, awaken again the gift of God that is within you. The gift of God is irrevocable. That means he doesn't take it back. You may have blown it. You may have failed. You may not have lived up to expectations. God never takes his gift away from you. That gift is still there, right deep down inside of you. Some of you have the gift of healing. Some of you have the gift of prophecy. Some of you have the gift of miracles. Some of you have the gift of preaching and teaching. Some of you have the gift of helping or administration. And I want to say this morning, your dream does not have to die because you have experienced some disappointment and some discouragement. Rise up again this morning in the knowledge that God loves you, that God hasn't failed you, that He hasn't forsaken you. Like that fire engine, you can fly past the crowd, you can fly past the barriers and the boundaries to the heart of where people are suffering and in need. And I just want to give you some pointers this morning as to how that can happen. Just four things. Number one, people who fly past the boundaries, people who refuse to put brakes on, number one, they have a clear vision and a purpose. They have a clear, they see things in a particular way. Those who steam ahead and give their lives to Christ are always clear about what matters most to them in their own lives. They have a clear vision and live for a definite purpose. In fact, that's true of anybody in life. People who steam ahead always have a reason for doing it. Some people are prepared to die for their country because they value their country. George W. Bush made a speech once and he said, "Those who risked their lives on our behalf are often very clear about what matters most in their own lives, and they tell it to those they love." And he went on to speak about a sergeant major called Michael Stack. And he was a soldier. He was a tough man. And he had high expectations of his troops, and they called him No Slack, Sergeant Michael Stack. That's what they called him. But he was laid to rest at Arlington, having given his life. And he wore the uniform for 28 years. And by the account of his mother, he finished his goodbyes before he went off to, I think it was Afghanistan, with these words. He said, "Mom, I'm going because I believe in what I'm doing. And if I don't come back, we'll meet in a better place." Men like Sergeant Stack have a vision and they have a purpose in life. Men and women like you and me also have a vision or a cause. Sergeant Slack, he believed in a cause. In other words, he had a vision and he had confidence in that vision. Jesus served God because he believed in his Father's love. And he trusted in the cause. Jesus had a cause. He lived for a cause. And he was willing to pay the price for that cause. I want you for a moment to think of Formula One this morning. And I know that Robert will be rushing home after this to watch the Russian Grand Prix. But think of a Formula One car taking a bend flat out at 200 miles an hour, a 180 degree bend, and taking that bend at 200 miles an hour. The man who does that is either crazy, probably a little bit crazy anyway, but the driver has confidence in his car, he has confidence in his ability, he has confidence in the team that has prepared the car, and he has confidence in the people who designed and built the track. He has a vision in his head, and he has confidence in that vision. You see, Jesus didn't serve simply out of duty. He believed in the cause. He believed in God's love. He had experienced God's love for himself. And his motive was not duty. His motive was love. Anybody who serves God and serves God effectively and faithfully and consistently has a vision of God's love. He knew the love of his Father for him and for sinful humanity. Therefore, his service of God was rooted and grounded in his vision of the love of God. No other motive. And 1 John 4:9 says, we love because he first loved us. That's the reason that we love each other and our community and love God. We love because we were loved first. We serve not because we have to or because of duty, but we serve because he first served us. You know, as you take those risks to go past the barrier, to go past the crowd, you want to serve God. You and I, we want to serve God, then we have to stand out from the crowd. We have to go past the crowd, into the heart of where the need is, beyond our own barriers that we set around ourselves. And as we do so, along with Jesus and Isaiah 12, verse 2, because I'm sure Jesus said this as he was thinking something like this as he went into Jerusalem, surely God is my salvation. God is going to help me. God is going to be my rescuer. God is going to justify me. Yes, I'm going into the heart of danger, but God is with me. I will trust and not be afraid. Whatever is facing you this morning, God wants to say to you, trust and do not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. So whatever it is you are serving this morning, have confidence in your God. Go past what people are saying. Go past what people are thinking. Go past your own inhibitions and your own fears and do it anyway. And go right into the heart of the problem, right into the heart of the need of people, right into the heart of danger sometimes. So that's the first thing. People who serve and take the breaks off have a clear vision of the love of God. Secondly, they are prepared for sacrifice. Be prepared for sacrifice. Jesus was prepared for sacrifice. And you may never be asked to sacrifice your life like Jesus was, or like the firemen who rushed into the World Trade Center. They understood that they were not only risking their lives, but that they would probably die in this one, trying to rescue innocent victims. For them, it was the ultimate sacrifice. You may never be asked to pay the ultimate price, but there are other things that God is asking you to do. There are other barriers that God is asking you to go past. I'm reminded of the disaster at Chernobyl. The explosion is one of the most harrowing examples in history of the power of nuclear danger if it isn't kept in check. But the disaster could have been much, much worse if it wasn't for three men who did an incredible thing. Because there was this piece of radioactive carbon, and it was in danger of falling through into what was a big pool of water that was underneath. And if that had happened, and this piece of radioactive carbon had fallen into this pool of water, there would have been a massive steam explosion, and radioactivity would have escaped into the atmosphere, and millions of people's lives would have been put at risk. Somebody needed to step forward. Somebody needed to jump into that pool of water and release the plug to let the water out and prevent this massive explosion. three men volunteered for the task. And their names are worth repeating this morning because what they did was an amazing thing. Alexei Anarenko, Valery Bespalov, and Boris Bananov. All these three men selfishly opted to leap into the water to open the valve, and they later succumbed to the massive doses of radiation they had received while saving the lives of their countrymen. Jesus deliberately rode into Jerusalem, knowing that he was going to die for sinners. He willingly gave his life for those who took his life. And the Bible puts it this way. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. While we were still powerless, Christ died for us. He was prepared for sacrifice. And God challenges us as well that if we want to serve him, there is sacrifice. There is a cost in serving Jesus. Sometimes Christianity is sold as, you know, pie in the sky when you die. And everything is going to be great for you when you become a Christian. But we have to be realistic. And we have to realize that there is a cost in serving Jesus. I don't know what that cost is for you. For some of you, it may be things to do with your family. It may be things to do with your job. It may be things to do with your priorities. Can be any one of those things or many, many more. But there is always a cost to pay in following Jesus. Thirdly, people who refuse to put brakes on, they think like Jesus. Jesus had a peculiar mindset. And in Philippians, Paul urges the Christians to have the same mindset as Jesus. He said, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. In other words, think God's love. Think compassion. Think others. He says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Think, put on the mind of Jesus Christ. You know, when we go into, sharing this during the week, when we go into an elevator and we press the button, normally it goes up. But when you get into God's elevator called discipleship, the elevator, when you press it to go up because you want to go higher, you want more influence, you want more anointing, you press it to go up, in God's elevator, it always goes down. Because with God, as he shows us in Jesus, the way to go up is always down. It's always through service, and it's always through humility. And the last thing I want to say today is those who press on always have a courageous spirit. It takes courage to take the brakes off. You know, in the 2004 tsunami, lots of those on holiday, as you might expect, they ran away from the wave, but there were some incredibly brave people there who ran towards the wave in order to rescue and find the innocent and the helpless. It is said that the brave and the cowardly person are both fearful. They're both fearful. However, it is the brave who face the fear and do what needs to be done. You know, fear is a part of life. Came across a little poem that says, courage isn't a brilliant dash, a daring deed in a moment's flash. It isn't an instantaneous thing, born of despair with a sudden spring. It isn't a creature of flickering hope or the final tug at a slipping rope. But it's something deep in the soul of man that is working always to serve some plan. That's beautiful, isn't it? It's something that's there. It's something that God has been working into you over your lifetime as a Christian. You don't find it in the moment. Yeah, you find it in the process of following Jesus. Now, there was a man called Major General Dutch Cota, and he did an amazing thing on D-Day, the 6th of June, 1944. One of the soldiers present that day, he looked down the beach and he testifies to seeing this general striding along the beach with a cigar in his hand. There were machine gun bullets flying all around the place. Thousands of men died on that beach, but this man was different. This man appeared to be fearless, and he had a remarkable effect upon his men. With soldiers pinned down because of machine gun fire, and the first man to charge was dead, the general realized that his time had come and that this moment was what his life was all about. This is what his training was all about. And those who were there testified that he leaped up, he dashed across the road, and through the gap that had been opened in the barbed wire, straight into the teeth of the machine gun. Eventually, a steady stream of soldiers followed him up the beach, and he led that column into the nearby village. He didn't find courage at that last moment. That was something that was there. That was something working deep in his soul, working always to fulfill the plan. And you know, if God is in you, God is working in you, deep in your soul, to fulfill the plan. This is your time, and this is your day. Your time has come. We're in the middle of a massive battle against the forces of evil, and God is looking for men and women who will stand up. God is looking for men and women who will stride through the needs of our community with broken people all around us. And God is looking for people who will fly past that barrier. God is looking for people who will stand up and be counted. God is looking for men and women who will stand out from the crowd. Are you such a man or such a woman? Will you make it happen? Will I make it happen?